I trust that it's well with your soul. Should be. First word of our text this morning says, Beloved. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and following. I was pointing out that here, the Apostle John writes to us the Word of God, and he calls us beloved. And I want you to know that this means that you are loved by God. Amen? And those are precious words. Amen? I don't know about you, but I was dying from a lack of love. Until the kindness and the love of God, my Savior, appeared. Amen. 1 John 4, 7 and following. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Amen? Praise God. These are beautiful words. My purpose this morning, dear church, is not correctional. And I want to state that out front. Although I want to speak very clearly and directly about this text of Scripture to you, I first want to commend you for the love of God, which is very evident in you, our family here at Heritage Fellowship. It is very clear to me that you love me. But I want you to know I want to be loved all the more. So please, love me more. Would you? And I will try to do the same for you. And if you will, I want us to really think hard about how each one of us as individuals fulfills this commandment which God speaks to us in this text of Scripture. And then I want you to consider what you should do about it. And we should not be like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and goes away and forgets what he looks like. But we should instead be this people of love that God says we are. We are like Him in the world. You with me? Okay then. Well, dear family, here we have a passage in the Bible which causes us to see God and ourselves very clearly. Here we may see several things with the broad daylight of Holy Scripture. First, God has commanded us to love because it is His very nature and our nature if we are born again. Second, God has shown us what love is. Its nature is evident at the cross. Number three, here is our assurance that we are in Christ. We see our assurance of salvation in our practice of love. This could not be more clear from the text here. Number four, our wholehearted devotion to loving the church must accompany a continual confession of Christ. This is the reason and the substance of our love. And so I would suggest that the cross is the wellspring of our love. We see the cross and we see what love is. And from that, it flows from within us because its very nature is our nature if we've been born of God. Lastly, that the visible external evidence that God is in us is love. Love is the fruit of the Spirit which is in us. So if the Spirit is in us, the fruit of that Spirit is love. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Look with me, 1 John 4:7 and 8. Beloved, isn't that a glorious word? Beloved. That means you're loved. Make you feel good? I don't know about you. It makes me feel good. But it does more for me than that. It causes me to know that I am loved. It's not just a feeling. This is God's declaration to you and to me. We are His beloved. Amen? But look what He says. You people who are loved, He says, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, He says, let us love one another. Chief among all the law and the prophets and all commandments is the commandment to love. Number two on your handout there. They came to Jesus. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Of all of the things that God said in all of His holy law, Jesus, what's the greatest thing? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Here's what Jesus means. The sum of the whole Bible is this. Love God and love your neighbor. This is the meaning of the whole Bible. This is how God's law is fulfilled. Romans 13, number 3 on your handout there. Verse 8 and following. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Let me make that real clear for you. You want to do what God says in the Bible? Love your neighbor as yourself. And you'll fulfill His commandment. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He says here, love is from God. For God is love. The virtue of love comes from God, as does all virtue. Virtue proceeds from the person of God, whose character is infinitely perfect. This is His nature. God is love. That is what God is. God is love. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, His nature defines the true meaning of love. For God is love. Or to put it another way, love is what God is. That's what the Bible says. God is love. And it is from God. So that if we love, the Scripture says, it comes from God. That its source is God. God is the source of all virtue. God is the source of all goodness that is in the creation. That's what James 1:17 says. It says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So this love comes from God. It's God's love. And He tells us to express it to one another. He says here, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Love fulfills the law because it is the very nature of God. Therefore, if we are born of God, if we've been born again by the Holy Spirit and possess His divine nature, then we are like Him in the world. If the Spirit of God has come in and transformed our nature to be like His glorious nature, then the very thing that's going to come from us is His character. This is what John is affirming. He is saying this very clearly. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of fact. We are therefore to bear His image. If we have been born of God, if we have been born from above, if the Holy Spirit of God has come in and transformed our nature, that Holy Spirit is a spirit of love. This, the Bible says, is His very nature. And therefore, the visible external evidence of salvation is love. That's what He says. He says, everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. Nobody truly loves apart from knowing God, because love is from God. Those born of the Father bear His nature. So I ask you this question today. Are you a Christian? Hereby know that you are, if you love God and man. Question. Do you have a driving love for other Christians? John says, let us love one another. Are you a Christian today? Are your affections upon the Savior and His beloved church? Do you know God? That's John's topic. Who knows God? He who loves. I ask you this question. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ? Do you love what Christ loves? How about this? Do you love His holy church? Here's what John says. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Jesus says to Peter, He says, Peter, lovest thou me? John chapter 21. Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, tend my sheep. Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Care for my people, Peter. Love my people. Love my church. This is the test of Peter's love. And so, God writes to us and He says this, Beloved, people loved by God, let us love one another. Amen? For love is from God. And everyone who loves knows God and is born of God. Amen? Well, just so that we don't get this confused, He says this in verse 8, The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He wants to make it real clear that we understand. If you don't love, you don't know God. If you love, you know God. Question is, what is love? All kinds of definitions of love out there in the world. But none of them look like what we see on Calvary's cross. There's only one love like that. Amen? Well, number 4, God is love. His character is to be our character. That is, if we are His children. When we truly love, then we know we are born of God. Verse 9 and 10 says, By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His Son to be the only begotten. God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Number 5, God has shown us what love is. Its nature is evident at the cross. This is what the Bible says. The love of God was manifested in this, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to become the propitiation for our sins. That's where we see love crystal clear. That's where it is manifested to us. That's where we see it. By this, the love of God was manifested. God showed us His love practically. He demonstrated it to us. He was not just off in heaven declaring His love, but came and lived among us and displayed His love to us. He proved His love was real by a mighty demonstration in the life of Jesus. Jesus walked around and He loved with the love of God. Why? Because He was God and His very nature was love. And the ultimate view of that love is on that cross at Calvary. Here's what it says, number 6, in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. But God does what? He demonstrates His own love toward us. He demonstrates it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. This is a demonstration of the love of God. This is how the love of God was manifested. So now we're getting some skin on those bones of what it means when the apostle says, Beloved, let us love one another. What does it look like? It looks like a cross where the Savior is dying. That's love. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love. At the cross we see what love is. Selfless sacrifice for the benefit of others. Jesus wasn't dying on that cross for His sins. Jesus was dying on that cross for my sins. He bore my sins in His body on the tree. It was because of your transgressions that He suffered. And by His suffering, you were healed. That's what the Bible says. This is love. Jesus gave Himself. He gave everything He had. This is how God's love was manifested to us. So when God says to us, love one another, we see the very nature of love at the cross. Love is selfless. Love is willing to sacrifice for the benefit of the other. Love is in perfect view at the cross. And furthermore, this was a propitiation for our sins. Here's what that means. God's holy anger and wrath against sin was fully satisfied by the death of Christ. That's what it means. That's what a propitiation is. It's a satisfaction. Jesus disarmed the wrath of God. And so John says in another place, number 7, 1 John 3:16, he says, we know love by this. He laid down His life for us. And then he says this, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be willing to sacrifice to love the beloved. You with me? What does this mean? How is it, family, that you go to a cross for God's church? Consider that. Chew on that. Think about it. Verse 11, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, if Jesus died on the cross and manifested the love of God to us, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Right? He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We ought to. It's only right. It's only proper that we would love one another. If we've been born of God, God's nature is in us. It's only right and good and proper that we love. And family, if we're not loving, we're violating the law of God. Would we harm Jesus' lambs? Would we injure them? Would we take up a sword against them? I think not. Why? For they are our beloved, even as they are His beloved. Amen? Do you cherish the church? Do you love Christ's church? It's a good question to ask yourself frequently. Well, here is our assurance that we are in Christ. Here is our assurance that we are in Christ. That's what he says. He says, if we love one another, God abides in us. If God loved us in this manner, giving Himself as a sacrifice for us, what then would we withhold from Him? We owe Him our very lives. Would we be willing to make a sacrifice in our own lives to love one another? We ought to. This is what He says. He says, we know love by this. He laid down His life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to ask you a question. How are you laying down your life for the church? This is how we know that God abides in us. We love. Well, he says, by this we know that we abide in Him. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. This is our assurance that God lives in us. What? That we love His church. We love God's people. We care for God's people. We meet their needs. Here again is our assurance by which we know we are in Christ. Listen to Peter's exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and following. This is number 10 on your handout there. He says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren." Listen to what he says. "Fervently love one another from the heart." You know, real genuine Christians ought to be the most loving people on the planet. And I happen to know that they are, because I know just a few of them. And I'm feeling love, quite frankly. And then I know whoever does not love, they're not born of God. This I know. Whoever loves, that one's born of God. And knows God. Why? Because they have a sincere, true, genuine, heartfelt love for the brethren. That's what it says. And then he tells us, even if you have sincere love for the brethren, let me tell you, fervently love the brothers, the sisters, the church. Fervently love the church. That's what the apostle says to us. Number 11. Our wholehearted devotion to loving the church must accompany a continual confession of Christ. This is the reason and substance of our love. Why do we love? Why do we love one another? Why do we care for one another? Because we're in Christ. And we've been born of God. And His nature is our nature. And He has come to live in us and abide in us. Therefore we love. And when we love, family, listen. That love carries with it a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, come to save the world. You cannot love people without expressing to them the gospel, the truth about who Christ is. That's what the Bible says. Here's what he says. He says, "And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." This is how we love. We point people always and continually to Christ, the Savior, who is love manifested to us on the cross at Calvary. Amen? Number 12, 1 John 4:2 says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." So I want to talk to you just briefly about some practical ways to love by looking at the definition of love in the Scripture. And just quickly want to say that our postmodern world that we live in, this culture that we live in, is at war with love. It is at war with love. Consider that what is happening in this culture is desperately striving against your ability to carry out this love. I talk about the fact that our lives are compartmentalized. You know, we get up in the morning, we go to our work, and we do our work, and then we go home, and we go to our home. And it's not like it used to be in the sense that we do things together. We don't live in tight little knit villages, you know. I go home to my house and I'm a mile from my nearest brother or sister. And we're isolated, you know. I know there are many ladies, let's say, who either work or don't work. But they're out doing their thing all day. They're isolated from the other ladies in the church. While they're involved in that. Why? Because that's the way of our culture. We're isolated. We're put aside in compartments. So what are you going to do about that? Well, I suggest that you fellowship. That you get together. That you care for one another. That you be hospitable. That you invite people into your life. That you spend time with them. How can you love if you don't spend any time? You with me? There are elements in our culture very much like this. You know, we work so hard. We're frequently shot. We're tired. We're worn out. We're stressed out. We live in a culture that's extremely high pressure. I mean, you know, people are, you know, shooting each other, road rage, because some guy pulls out in the street. What is that? Everybody's like a stick of dynamite waiting to go off, man, waiting to blow up. It's an evil world. It's a wicked world. It is violently contradictory to love. Hey, man, go ahead. Pull out there. And pull the guy behind you, too. You with me? Well, what is love? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and it is kind. Love is patient and it is kind. How do we love one another? We be patient with one another. You know the old King James word for patient? Long suffering. That means you suffer long. And if you're close to me, you're probably going to do some suffering. But if you're patient, you'll do it for a long time. I hear my wife saying amen. Love is kind. Love is encouraging. It speaks kindly. It does kindly. It performs kindness. It reaches out in love. It encourages. Listen, love promotes and praises others. It builds others up. It speaks gracious words of healing. It's kind. It speaks kindly. It gives. It seeks to give and bless and be benevolent. Love is benevolent. It's giving. It's gracious. It's hospitable. Love seeks to serve others. I don't know about you. I love the saints. I love to fellowship with the saints. I can fellowship 24/7. As long as we're talking about Jesus. And maybe a little bit about football. No, I'm teasing. Listen, love is patient and kind. It's ready to do good. It's ready to help. It's ready to heal. It's ready to relieve burdens. It's ready to serve one another. It's ready. It's waiting to be kind. You with me? It is not proud, number 14, or selfish. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It is not envious. Love does not resent the good fortune of others. But it rejoices when others are blessed. It is exceedingly happy when we see others be blessed. That's love. That's sincere love. We seek to be the source of that blessing, do we not? It is not proud. Love does not think too highly of itself. It is not arrogant. It does not look down on others. It does not demean others. It doesn't speak destructive words. Even if love criticizes, those words should be words that build up. Love behaves decently. And I put this, not like a 5'10" 3-year-old. That's how tall I am. You get the idea? Love doesn't throw temper tantrums like a 3-year-old. Love doesn't behave unbecomingly. Love is gracious and forgiving. It's not easily angered. It's not provoked. It's very humble. It's patient. Family, this is how we're supposed to be treating one another. You know, when you go home and you have a marriage and you love your wife or you love your husband, I'm describing what the Bible says how your behavior toward one another ought to be. This is how we love. Right? We're not easily angered. but we're humble and we're patient and we're compassionate one to another. We're not resentful. We don't harbor anger or bitterness toward others. These are dreadful poison to the soul indeed. And you know, when you're resentful and you're harboring bitterness, you know who that's hurting, right? You. You're the one that's hurting when you're resentful. You know what I'm saying. You've been there. You've done that. You got the t-shirt. Love is forgiving. Love is ready to forgive, family. You know why? Because you've had all of your sins forgiven at Calvary's tree. That's what the Bible says. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And whatever grievance you have against one another, forgive and bear with one another. Right? Bear with one another. Number 16, love is holy. Love is holy. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Let me tell you, love is offended by injustice. And there's plenty of injustice going on in our culture. It hates sin and evil. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Listen, God hates sin. He hates evil. And God is love. Love does not laugh at or make light of sin. Love is grieved by sin. Love is exuberantly happy to hear the truth. And it appreciates and approves of justice. Because justice is proper. Number 17, lastly, love is persevering and faithful. And I think that these words here are the ones we can only perform by faith, with God's power and with God's love. The scripture says love bears all things. And it believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things, and love never fails. Love forgives 70 times 70 times 70 times 70. And then love is ready to forgive. Love is always hoping for the best and seeking to be the source of that blessing. Love hangs in there, loving and praying and seeking God's grace at all times. Love is enduring to the end with its objects. Who is equal to this task, family? This only can you do in the love of God. Amen. Love waits till the end, hoping for blessing. Never seeking to injure, but always seeking to heal. Amen? And so John sums this up and says, "And we have come to know and have believed the love that God has for us." We know and believe that God loves us. For me, this is almost too good to be true. It's hard to believe. It's hard for me to believe this. I don't know why. I guess it's because I'm such a proud man. Or I'm just so steeped in darkness. It's hard for me to grasp that God loves me. Anybody identify with me? It's hard for me to grasp that. Because God's love is perfect. Yet God loves me. This is what the Bible says. And we have come to know and believed the love which God has for us. Church, God loves you. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. That's what the Bible says. It says this we know. I was looking at Romans 8 and it says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Listen, if God did not spare His own Son, if God didn't spare the most treasured thing that He has to show us His love, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Listen, if God is willing to give Jesus to die on the cross, you can be assured that He loves you. This is what John says. We know and we believe the love that God has for us. Amen? Oh, man. My soul is exceedingly happy to know that God loves me. How about you? It means ultimately, everything's going to be all right. Amen? If you're in Christ, glory awaits, family. Glory so bright, our present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared. Amen? Well, if God would forgive all our sins, number 19, and adopt us into His family to be His children, and if He would make us kings and priests before Him to serve Him in love, and fill us with His blessed Holy Spirit, so that we have exceeding great joy and peace within our souls, and if He would take us in to live in His holy heaven for all the ages of eternity, do you suppose He loves us? I think He does. I think He's shown it to us. And so number 20, we affirm with John, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. And so I ask you this question. Do you know and do you believe that God loves you? That's what the Bible says. He loves you. 21, if these things be true, do you suppose we should love one another? What more reason do we need to love one another? Is it not our great privilege to have the family of God to love in all their infinite imperfections? Some of us are really difficult to love. Aren't we? It just makes it that much more beautiful and glorious for us to seek to strive to love God's people, to love God's church. You know the church is a hospital for sinners, right? Some of you might be offended by that. Let me tell you something. There are many, many, many hurting pains in this room right now. And people who need to be healed and loved by your gentle care. And if you're not aware of it, we need to get you a new set of glasses. Because it's all around you. And if none of you people out there need to be loved, you can love me. Because I need to be loved. You with me? Okay. Lastly, the visible external evidence that God is in us is love. This is how we know that God lives in us. We love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So I want to just ask you then, would you love one another? Would you hold the family of God in your heart as your beloved? And would you love the church like Jesus loves the church? Would you? Can I get an amen? Okie doke. It's been my privilege to bring you the Word of God. Pastor Tim and I are going to serve communion.